Who's the special service?
I'll play it. So I play this video, and then... Didn't go good.
Oh.
All the time. So here goes the video, and I guess the ladies are going to come up. All right. Ready? Y'all really did it incognito, right? Or are you coming up here?
I'll just say something from here.
Okay, go ahead.
This song, Get His Hands, never fails to remind me of my own father and the man I married that was the father to my children. It also makes me think of the Heavenly Father, because he loves us with a heart that is stern but unending. Much like a father's love. Happy Father's Day today to you guys from the CWF. Even if you're not fathers, the ones that we handed our little gift to, men are like men are like women. Women, I think all women have a motherly thing, and I think all men have a fatherly thing, whether you have children or not.
That's right.
So. Go out, EU, represent God. Happy Father's Day.
Amen. And after the day, you can say, you sing that song and say, Daddy's hands were slick as steel. Amen. Not hard as steel. God's good.
All the time.
All the time.
Right.
God's good. Got a little treat for you today. I hope it's going to be a treat. But we're going to have a different kind of Father's Day message, and it's going to be awesome. Before we do that, I want to talk about fathers. So, how many real men we got here? How many real men? Yeah. Ooh. How did Tim Allen do it? How many real men have we got here? Oh, come on, if not only one. Come on, guys, you can do that. Somebody's out there belching out there. Come on. All right, I'll leave it alone. All right. Why real men? Real men. If you're a real man today, this is why you're so happy. Okay? Ready? The top 10 reasons why real men are happy. All right? Happier. Number one. Real men can wear shorts, no matter what their legs look like. That's been proven time and time again. Number nine, men have one wallet and one pair of shoes, which are good for every season. Number eight, this is my favorite, men can choose whether to grow a mustache or not. All right. I see this is not gaining ground. I figure by now y'all be getting into it, but I think right now I'm getting ready to get thrown something at. Number seven, weddings take care of themselves. I remember Linda was getting married. She said, we need to get married, we need to get some time. And I said, I'm going to reserve us a room, and we're going to sit down and talk. Well, 2 days before the wedding, we're in the boogies and sitting in a little thing in the corner. She said, this is what you consider. Getting a wedding ready 2 days before the wedding in the boogies. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. All right.
That's the lit
point. That's right. Yeah, I still remember the time we had the parade. DC and Daniel built the float while the parade hit them in the parade line. They were building it in the parade line. They'd get moving. They had to put tools down and move it up one more notch and keep on working. Put tools down and move it up another notch. All right. Number six. Men only have to shave their faces and necks and backs. Ladies, I thought you'd like that. I'm here going in here a little further. Okay. Real men can do their Christmas shopping for 25 relatives on Christmas Eve in 25 minutes. There you go. I'm getting, now it's starting to get a little bit. All right. Number four. Men don't have to stop and think which way to turn the screw. This is going downhill fast. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a bodyguard to go out of here today. Number three. Men have one mood all the time. Okay, well, most of the time. Okay, maybe not. How about that, ladies? Is that better? All right, I feel it going down in flames right here. I've got two more to go if I can hit the landing pad. All right. Number two, a wedding dress costs $5,000. A tuxedo rental is $100.
That's right.
All right. They're ready for the last one. Dude, if you have one, there's an upfold. Ready? Real men can open their own jars. Don't throw any jars this way. Okay, that was a lot more funnier when I was looking at it. Okay.
Let the men feel useful every once in a while.
That was good. That was really, really good. Alright. So now that I have completely humiliated every guy in here, y'all ready? This is all I can do today, and there's so much that I actually have to finish it up next week. It really is, there's so many. But I worked at Fountain Power Boats for probably 5-6 years. I was industrial engineer manager. And it was a very, I loved the job, but it had its perks, but it also had its quirks. Okay? And so, but there's something I learned. And I sat in all the meetings with Mr. Fountain and in the management meetings, and I was involved in the racing and all the other stuff and all the repairs that were being done, all the problems. So I was a lot of hands-on with all of them. But most of what you're going to see today, I actually had a hand in. So not all of them, but a lot of them I had a hand in one way or another. Father's Day, 2023, lessons I learned from Fountain Power Boats. Okay? So this is part one. So first, isn't that cute? I was the one that was going 109 miles an hour. And while we were going 109 miles an hour, I could have drank a cup of coffee, and it would have never spilled out of the cup, and it would have never knocked out of the cup. And while we were going 109, we were passed by a race boat with a canopy going 150. And I really thought we were going fast at 150 mile an hour boat passed us. So that was always a fun ride and battle with things. And so, so here it is, Fountain Power Boats. It was an awesome place to work. I loved working there. But here were some of the things that you had to be able to handle. And when somebody's asking me to get a job there, I'd ask them, can you handle a competitive environment? If you cannot handle it, you do not need to be there. And I had one guy kept begging me to get him a job there. I got him a job, and after a week he came to me and said, you didn't tell me it was like this. I said, dude, I told you every time you asked for it. He said, but this is not what you meant. I said, this is what I meant. And so again, highly competitive environment. It was easy to go from checkered flag to black flag. I mean, in one meeting, you could be getting accolades about how things were going so good and then get laid off because of something stupid you did. So that system is very, very competitive. And those racers that work there, those guys wouldn't cut you a bit of slack. They just had this way about them. So, there were so many variables in those boats, and there were so many procedures that if you didn't handle it correctly, it was going to cost in the contest. And so Mr. Fountain wanted to be a winner, and for the longest time, he held all the world records. He actually would, if you go into the office, you'll see a rental reel all the time. He was around ESPN, Mr. Fountain raced Don Johnson and Kurt Russell. They had cigarettes, he had a fountain. They kept talking jungle, so he said, okay, let's see what we can do. And he raised Don Johnson and Kurt Russell, and you'll see, and ESPN is doing this, and the announcer's going, look here, Reggie, go! And you see, he just walk away from Miami Vice. He's walked away from him because this man did not like to lose. So he was always in his thing. So now, let me connect this to spiritual warfare. I knew you were thinking I was going to talk about fountain books. No, this is going to be the springboard. I'll connect this to spiritual warfare. If you think about spiritual warfare, it is a very highly competitive environment. That's why we talk about spiritual warfare. It's 10% Satan's tactics, 90% how we respond. And so it is a very highly competitive environment. You're not gonna walk off easy when you find yourself engaged in spiritual warfare. When you find yourself, you know, just in the last week, you know, my wife and I were involved in many, many, many deaths. And then this morning I get a text, and there were two more deaths in the community, and then her mother died. And that was like in just a couple of hours, those three deaths. And we got a chance to, there was a mother that lived behind us. She was sick. She was very sick. And so she kept up with the church on Facebook Sunday mornings. And whenever we had Wednesday night service, Tuesday night service, she was always on. She was dying of cancer, and it was going downhill. And her daughter, she wanted her daughter to get baptized. Her daughter had been, you know, kind of in and out about when to get it done, coming here to get it done or whatever. Well, when they said her mama was going out of here, we talked her into just go ahead and doing it there like I do the guys that pay attention. And so I got here and got a baptismal robe, and she stood by her mama. And we baptized her in front of her mama. Her mama died a few hours later. This was just a few days ago. So if you're going to be involved in spiritual warfare, know that it's a highly competitive environment. And fathers, I'm getting ready to tell you something. You don't have a choice. If you don't get involved in spiritual warfare, something is going to take place that you wish had not happened. So, it's easy to go from checker flag to black flag. You think everything's going good one moment, next moment, everything's going downhill. Just Thursday, everything was going great. With Linda, Friday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, she woke me up and she was about that. She was just hurt so bad. And by the time we got her to the hospital and they put her in there, they couldn't even get pain medicine. They didn't really do the job of hurt so bad until they did the surgery later that day. And so she had two gallstones big as quarters in her gallbladder, along with 100 little bitty ones. I don't know how her gallbladder was even working. So, she used to go from checker flag to black flag. And there's so many variables, and there's so many procedures. If we're going to do spiritual warfare for our family, then we're going to have to really pay attention to what the Word of God says. And those that have gone on, that are before us, that have gone before us, that have wisdom and have gone through the battle, and they can tell you things to keep you having to go through the battle that way if you just listen. So if it's not handled correctly, it's going to cost the contest. This contest is our families. We cannot afford to let our families lose to Satan. Amen? So just as Reggie was the leader, I have found the Father is the leader in spiritual warfare. Like it or not, the Father is the leader in the family in spiritual warfare. So this is not Reggie racing Kurt Russell and Don Johnson, but this is what it looked like. Okay, he just ate them up. All right. So now, the very first lesson I learned, he didn't say it this way, but he said it all the time. And so I wrote it down, listened to him one day, and said, he kept saying it so many different ways. And so I wrote this down this way, and I always remember this. I never forgot it. If you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. Let's sink in. If you want to beat a man, you got to beat the man. Okay? And you have to aggressively go after your competition. Matter of fact, John Wooden said, John Wooden, who won 7 straight National Division I basketball championships won 88 straight Division I basketball games. It's unheard of. There's not even, even Coach K doesn't come close to John Wooden's record. And John Wooden, he said, number one thing is, he said, we're going to stay with the basics. I want you to keep good tennis shoes on that fit your feet. I want them things to stay tight. We're going to learn what you're good at and what you're good at. That's what we're going to focus on for you. And he said, and that's why Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he had the skyhook. And he said, okay, UCLA, we're going to have a skyhook. And so he introduced the skyhook, and he knew he was so good at it. He said, now what we're going to do is, you need to keep doing that. And the other guys, you're going to do this and this. He just kept putting people where their strengths were. And he didn't play the other guy's game. He said, we're going to force the other guys to play our game. And if we force them to play our game, we can keep them off balance and we can win. And 88 straight games later, I think he was right. Amen? So, let's talk about spiritual warfare with fathers. Again, if you want to beat a man, you got to beat the man. Okay? The man we got to beat is not each other, but Satan. You got to beat him, amen? So how do you do it? You aggressively go after Satan and his wiles. Don't wait for him to come after you. You got to go after him. You know what? How do you do that? How do I know to go after Satan? Let me just tell you this. Number one, never be satisfied with your level of spirituality. Abraham Lincoln said, you show me a satisfied man, and I will show you a failure. Don't ever be satisfied with where you're at, your level. I'm never satisfied with where I'm at my level with God. I'm always seeking to grow, always seeking to grow. We live in a time, especially in this day and time, where people just want to get by or just good enough's enough. No, we don't have time to just get by. We don't have time to just have good enough's enough. We have to be all we can be for God. And as we're going to do that, it's amazing how we will aggressively go after Satan and his wiles. And we never play his game. We force him to play God's game. You hear me? You can either play Satan's game or Satan, or you can get Satan to play yours. So, Matthew 16:18. He says, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. Now, so many people think about that as Satan coming after us all the time, all the time. He does come after us. But this scripture right here is not talking about that. Gates are stationary. He's talking about us rushing the gates of hell. Wow. That's powerful. So, y'all said it to me. We're not helpless and hopeless. We're not helpless or hopeless. Say that. We are called. You are the patriarch, you are the priest of your home. Listen to this. You are the patriarch, you're the priest of your home. God has called you, and he has anointed you for this. So let me just tell you something. I thought this all the time. I tell guys this all the time. They go, but I'm not sure if God's listening to me. And I tell them, I said, let me tell you something. If you get serious about anything in your family, I promise you God's listening to you. You know why? And I said, so tell me why. I said, because you're the patriarch, and you're the priest of your home. You're the one that's interceding for everybody else. You are the man. So in order to beat the man, or be the man, you got to beat the man. Amen? You got to stand up, square your shoulders back, and know that, guess what? I am the patriarch of my family, I am the priest of my home, and I know that my prayers have power because God promised it to us because we are the leaders of our home. Amen? So it says very, very, very powerful. Number two. Lessons I learned from Fountain Power Boats. Always race to win. Always race to win. And make sure that you guard your own turf. How you play the game is important. Yes, he says. How many have ever heard? It's not win or lose. It's how you play the game. That was not acceptable, Fountain. The problem was, you played the game the way it's supposed to be and step it up another notch. Matter of fact, do you know that a fountain power boat, a race boat, their motors were rebuilt, if not after every race, it was rebuilt after every other race. There was just a whole crew there, and all they did was work on Red's boats and work on the other race team's boats. That's all they did. They had a whole building by themselves. They worked on his stuff all one time. And they always tried to develop ways to make it faster and to make it faster. How you play a game is important, but also it's winning. If winning's not important, John Wooden even said this, if winning's not important, why keep score? We live in a time where we're not keeping score in a lot of places. Did you know that? I sit there and watch some of my grandkids play ball, and I said, well, where's the scoreboard? Well, we're not keeping score. Why not? Well, that's not important. Really? We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm sorry. How does your children learn how to be competitive if you don't keep score? How do you learn to be competitive if you don't keep score? And we live in a time where they're not keeping score, and not just for the kids, but for the adults too. They're not keeping score. But I'll tell you something that's very important. When you're fighting Satan, you don't just not just to get by. It's not just to listen. You have to keep score and know that you're on the winning side and that you're doing something right. And when you're doing something right, keep up with it, because if you sit back and flounder like a jellyfish, all you're going to do is going to go with the current. Amen? What about those mighty salmon? The mighty salmon go uphill, upstream. They go upstream to mate, upstream. But you know what? Even the dead fish can go with the current. But God's calls to go against the current. Spiritual fathers, here it goes. Ready? Always race to win. And know this, God is watching. He expects you to strive to be your best. Amen? 1 Corinthians 9 and 24 says, know you not that they which run in the race all run, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Amen? Let me tell you something. Your family's watching you. As a pastor, I can't tell you how many times I sat there and watched and talked to the husband. He said, well, my wife's going to church. She can teach the kids. I said, I let church stuff be done by my wife because that's not for men. Or my mama, she takes care of our family, grandma. She takes care of our family spiritually because that's just a woman's thing. We are the priests and the patriarchs. It's not a woman's thing. It's not my wife's responsibility. It's my responsibility. Amen? So my boys do this too when they were coming up. We would always talk. We've talked about making decisions. I try to teach the boys how to make decisions. I give them parameters how to make decisions. And if there's something going on, me and the family would talk, and we would make decisions going back and forth. But if I saw that it was detrimental to our spiritual well-being, I said, no discussion. I don't feel right about it. I got to stand before God with this decision. And so, no. Or yes, or whatever it was, said, this is where God says, I got to step up and be the patriarch. I got to step up and be the priest of the home. So, it's very important. Your family's watching, but Satan's watching. He's seeing if you're taking the lead. If you're not taking the lead, then he's not too worried about you anyway. I want you to remember this. You can either be a great example or a great warning. I'd rather not be a warning. I would much rather be an example. Amen. Now, I'm almost through for today. But I work for Richard. He looked like this guy. I see him all the time now, and he looks like this guy. Of course, he's 80. And he had his back operated on, his legs operated on, those folks have just beat him to death. He had a lot of work done, but he's still racing at 80 years old. This is the learn from five bar boats. You're never too old to compete. Ridge is 80 plus years old. I don't know. I'm going to have to catch him to put him in this golfing. I hear this all the time. You may not have the stamina. Once you don't have the stamina, you can make up for knowledge and experience. You see, spiritual fathers, you're never too old. The Bible says Moses was 120 years old, and when he died, his eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abated. All right, that's Deuteronomy 34:7. What's I got to do this day and time, okay? The lesson here is you're never too old. Your kids may be grown, but they still need you. My kids are grown. Daniel's almost 40. DC's over 40. But they still need me, and I still need them. The difference is, when they're younger, I am in a supervisory position as father and trainer. When they get older, I'm more of an advisor. But your children always need you. Not only do your children need you. I was in the waiting room waiting for Linda to come out of surgery. And there was a guy sitting in there. I thought he was familiar with his whole sitting there. And he picked up his head and tried to be and said, I knew that voice when I heard it. And this guy had spent a lot of time with DC and Daniel when they were coming up. And he began to tell Tamala about the times they had at the house and the times there were some things that him and Daniel and DC had done, which he could let that out. And he told me, he said, man, you're like my second dad. And I said, man, that's powerful. And he gets up to go get a surgery and forgets all his paperwork. And somebody said, he said, where's your paperwork? So I reached over and got his paperwork and said, calm down, dude, calm down. Here's your paperwork right here. He took it and he gave a big hug. And laid it, man, I said, I've been doing it since he was that time. Your grandbaby still needs you. We call them G-babies. Others in your circle, they still need you. You got things that you've been through that nobody else that you know may have been through, and you can help them through things. You can help them see things. You can be their eyes extended. You can be a heart extended. It's very important. All right, number four. We only got five for today. People follow leaders. They follow winners. I was sitting there one day, and Mr. Fountain approved, because we had something called an R-Fire. That meant Reggie said it. Reggie. I like Reggie, you know, Reggie had a saying. When we were getting ready to do something and he didn't like it, he said, I'm provoking the golden rule. You know what the golden rule was? The man with the gold makes the rules. We called it the R Fighter. But we told him, said, this race is getting, I didn't, somebody else in it meet said, this race is getting very, very, very expensive. And said, you think we can back up a little bit, not spend so much? He said, really? And he kept pushing and pushing. And somebody came to me and said, why won't he stop? I said, because people follow winners, not losers. I said, just his records that he held sells his boats. The things that he does sells his boats when they see what his boats can do. I was with a professional fisherman. They had been doing contests, and he had a 38-foot fish boat. And he told me, Mr. Fountain said, go take him on a tour, show him how to build his boat. I said, all right. So I went around with him. And he said, that thing is so smooth. I said, I know, so there's those cutouts that make it so smooth. And he goes, he said, I want you to hear something. I said, talk to me. He said, we were in a tournament in the ocean. And he said, the tournament was supposed to start at 7 in the morning, 6 in the morning, whatever time it was. He said, and the weather was getting kind of, looked like it was getting kind of rough. You could feel it blowing against you. And you see the waves, he said, we didn't have any problem. We were all the way out to this place. We already made it out there. So simple. We're out there getting ready to fish him. And they called us the radio and said that the contest had been called off that day because other boats couldn't get out there. I said, wow, that's awesome. That's part again Now, they're always, you got to be winners. You got to be winners. You got to be winners. People don't follow that effective. So now let's handle the spiritual warfare. Ready? I'm getting close to the end. Fathers, you can't afford to take the back seat. When it comes to spiritual warfare, we got to lead. We've got to lead. God, although the wife sometimes does lead in spiritual warfare, and God will use her, but if you want to see spiritual warfare really handled strongly, you got to do it. It's got to be you, because you are the priest of the home. You are the patriarch. It's time we all understand that, and we all stand up and take the reins and take control. Again, know you're not all running the race right all, but who receives the prize? One. So run that you may obtain. We cannot afford to sit back and let our wives or children fight these battles alone. They need us. They need us. They need us more than ever, especially now. They need fathers. I'll give you a little seminar Saturday for the Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ in the district for the youth leaders. And I'm going to do last time I did it on non-suicidal injury. This time I'm going to do it on coaching fathers and mothers. And I get about 2 or 3 hours to do all this. And what sparked this, Brother Paul said, you pick the subject. As long as you pick the subject, we'll be fine. It'll be good. You pick it. And these guys here testify to go to the detention center. How many times do we go to the detention center in general population and find out guys are in there because they haven't paid their child support? They're in there with guys that have robbed stores. They're in there with guys that are murderers. They're in there with guys that rape people. And they're in there because they haven't paid their child support. Saturday, I'm going to tell about how we can help those guys a whole lot better than just beating them up and throwing them in there, how we can make things a whole lot better so it all walks around good. But part of this stuff right here. Don't sit back and wait for our wives and children. They need us. You ever see this? You ever see a helicopter? Helicopters are always flying with the boats are racing. Have y'all noticed that? There's always a helicopter up ahead when the boats are racing. There's a photographer on board. He's taking pictures, of course. But he's not there to take them. The helicopter's not there for just taking pictures. The helicopter goes along with those boats because when you're racing 150, 170, 200, 220, 240 miles an hour. You're going so fast that you have to have 3 people operating the boat. Now, when you're in there, you can't see every obstacle in that water. You're moving so fast, it's so complex, that you got to have a helicopter go ahead of you and let you know if there's obstacles ahead, if there's a log, if there's debris, whatever, so that you can move away and not hit that. I remember I was going to, me and Wyatt and Daniel went, because Daniel's working at Fountain. We went to Greensboro to a leadership seminar with John Maxwell. And Wyatt had to leave early because he was going to Puerto Rico to race with a doctor who had bought a Fountain Power Boat and needed Wyatt to help him race. Show him how. And he said it took a turn too sharp and the boat flipped over and started to sink. It'll be probably next week in the lesson, but the doctor was freaking out because they're going down and they're upside down. And Wyatt said, the spotter has seen us. He said, and we're already prepared. He said, if you reach behind you and pull up on your suit, there's an oxygen tube. You breathe the oxygen too. And another helicopter's going to come, or a boat, and they're going to drop off a diver. And they're going to come down, they're going to open the hatch, and they're going to release us. But until then, stay calm. Because the spotters already know that we're around. They're marking us. And stuff like that happened all the time. When I was in the rescue squad, the very first person I picked up had his neck broke in a final tire. Boat flipped over, it was a tunnel boat. It flipped over and it caught his neck, snapped his neck, and split. He was going so fast, it split his helmet. You've got to know what you're doing. He said he didn't need any training. He just bought the boat. He never got back to New Jersey. He died on his very first out in the Vince boat. That's why it's important for these spotters. Trust your guide. The helicopters, spotters, that you have to trust what they say and listen to them. Find what they're saying when they tell you something and signal to you. If they find a problem, you got to listen to them, and they're going to tell you how to keep from losing it. And if you do fall, they know where you're at, and they can get help to you. I'll say it with us. Fathers, we have to trust our guides. We have to trust our spotters and our signal to obstacles. The Bible says, and that his servant said, no, none, my Lord, O King, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel. Tell the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. He said, I got somebody telling Elijah wherever I'm going, and it's making me mad. One of you have betrayed me. He said, it's not us. It's Elijah. God's talking to him. Let me tell you something. This battle, we're not battling alone. We have God's word. We've got his spirit. We've got his presence. We've got his promise. We can win. It's not easy. You're going to tuck some scars. One thing for sure. As I was sitting in some of these meetings and things were going through, and I'd be at the races, as I was taking care of the safety and environmental at the races, but I've been at these races, and I see some of these boats flip over, some of these boats get damaged, and one boat actually hit another boat, and they drug it in, and we carried it back to the building, and they patched that boat up and put it in for a race a couple hours later. It's the wildest thing I've ever seen. A hole this big. And they fixed it and put it back out there. For many years. Now things are a little different. But when I was there, for sure, family had many winning seasons. They held numerous records. He's got a legacy that'll far go past him. He's got a building, an office building, that the hallway by this pig. And it probably goes out to the Christian church sign out there. And all the way down, there's trophies. Some of them are this high. Some of them are this high. And there's no room for any more trophies. They're as far down as you can see. And there's shelves built over, and there's trophies on top of that. And it goes all the way down and goes all the way around. All the trophies that Reggie found has won through the years. And I can't even reach up and grab some of them. And as I listen to this stuff, I always try to apply spiritual lessons. And these are some of the lessons that God showed me while I was working there. But guys, you know, Benny, I'm going to call you out right now. You stay right there, I'm just going to call you out. I'm just going to talk about you, all right? This morning I said Happy Father's Day to DC and Daniel. I said, y'all, Anthony and Sam. And I said, y'all guys are awesome dads. And of course they sent back and said, that's because we had an awesome example. We had an awesome teacher. I was talking with Jerry a couple days ago. Thursday I was talking to Jerry about something entirely different. And Jerry said, yeah, my dad works with me some. He said, if you ever want anything done, all you got to do is get my dad. He's going to find a way to get it done. He said, there's two things about my dad that can never be taken away. This is awesome. He said, I've learned a lot from that man. He said, he's the real deal when it comes to being a Christian. He said, he's the real deal when it comes to being a dad. He said, I couldn't ask for anybody better. And he said, it's an honor. You didn't even hear it. You weren't in your earshot. He didn't know I was going to say this. He said, it's been an honor to have him as my dad. He said, we always see eye to eye. That's normal. He said, but you ain't going to find a more pure Christian, and you're not going to find a finer dad than my dad. Anything. That's awesome. That's awesome, bro. That is so awesome. And I bet you, if I got a chance to take any of y'all's children out, at y'all's expense, take any children out, I'm playing about the expense, if I could take your children out and talk to them, they would, I hear this course over and over and over again about how good a dad y'all have been. And it's just awesome. It is so, so awesome. And I love it. I just think that he didn't know, but Jerry didn't know I was preaching on this today. And Jerry didn't know that I was even calling him out. But I thought it just fit perfect. Fit perfect this right here. Remember this, fellas. Our legacies are in our children. And they follow them. And they're going to lead. And when we're gone, what you put in them is going to show over and over and over again. Sometimes I'm watching DC and Daniel. And I'm saying, God, did I do the right thing? God, did I do it right? God, did I do it right? And then I watch them do something. And I go, thank you, God, because I know where that came from. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. And I got a chance to see that. Fellas, we're all going to say, everybody say that. Randy, come over here and play some fountain music. I fought the long and long one. That was the kind of boat I was on, 109 miles an hour. I was on an outlaw race boat. I know y'all don't care, or maybe you wouldn't care, but an outlaw race boat is a boat that's designed to be inhabitable. You can live in it. It's got the cabin, everything down below, but it does not have a windshield. It's got a race bearing. And so it's designed to race, but also to be as a regular boat, too, so you can live in it. So when you go to race, you can actually live in it while you're racing. It's kind of crazy. But it's like my own off-road bike. And at 109 miles an hour, and they weren't even good and tuned up yet. I can't imagine what happened when they got it good and tuned up, how fast it went. And one day I was trying to figure out why we were getting smoke out of an engine, and I was laying on that back, seeing on the back of those boats, they have a swim platform, and they got a layout deck on the back of those things, this big old pillar. I was laying on the pillar, holding on to the latch, going 70 miles an hour backwards. I'm laying backwards while he's going 70, and I'm holding my camera down like this. And I said, okay, that's fast enough. And the guy, finally the smoke started happening. I said, thank you, God. And so I come back up, and when I come to shore, somebody said, you been on boats lately? I said, how can you tell? I looked like something Jurassic Park. My hair was all because I've been riding at 70 miles an hour. When my head turned this way, my hair was all. God's got us, young men. I call us all young men. God's got us. God wants us to take the lead in spiritual warfare. And God has called us to be champions. God's got us, God's got us, God's got us. God's got us, God's got us, God's got us. And I thank him that he has us. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First I'm going to ask, is there anybody here that would say, I'm really not where I should be with God right now, and I really would want God to do something special right now. Let me know that I'm where I need to be with him, whether it's to do something to me or for me or something, or just accept me and help me to move forward. If I'm talking to you right now, nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, but you put in that hand and say, I really want to grow. I really want to go forward. I don't want to stay like this. Touch her more, touch her more, touch her. Maybe you're here today. And hopefully, these lessons that I learned from Fountain, and it really done something to me. I mean, really, really done something to me. And helped me in my walk. I hope that today, something was said that enlightened or opened eyes. And I hope that when you walk over this place, you're not going to feel beat up, you're going to feel enriched. You're going to feel something powerful. And you can know God's got you. I want every man, you don't have to come up here, you can stay right at your seat. I want every man, because every man is a father figure to someone. I want every man to put your hands up. Put both of them up, except for you, Brandon, you're playing. Every man, put both hands up. I want you to repeat after me. This is very, very, very powerful. I want you to say, Father, I want to be the man. Help me beat the man. Father, I want to race the winner. I want to guard my turf. I want you to say, Lord, I'm not too old to compete. I want you to say, God, I know people follow leaders. Help me lead. And then finally, I want you to say, God, help me to trust my God. Your word and your spirit and your presence and your promise. I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. God is awesome. All the time. God is awesome. Ben, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and then we get Benny to dismiss it, and you dismiss us in prayer, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be here today. Lord, as we venture forth, let us give us the strength, the knowledge, and the wisdom to be the example you would have us to be for others, so that whenever someone looks at us, they will see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh. Thank you.